on that note, I'd like to call the March 5th, 2020 board meeting to order and remind everyone to please use your microphones when speaking and turn them off when finished. Commissioners present are David Judah, Danny Doyle, and myself, Jim Duggan. First item on our agenda is the General Manager's Report. And Mr. Kraska will now present the General Manager's Report. And looks like you had a miraculous recovery from the way you sounded the other night. Glad you were able to make it.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Still recovering, still trying to keep the germs to myself. If I seem a little off today, that's my excuse. So, as usual, we'll start off with a quick safety moment. And having an afternoon meeting, this is something I think we can all relate to as fatigue management. So there's a lot of challenges that we face with working against our body clock, is that work often requires us to override our natural sleep patterns. More than 43% of workers are apparently sleep deprived. Those most at risk work night shift, long irregular shifts. Drowsy driving is impaired driving, so similar to driving impaired. If you don't get enough sleep, kind of the same behaviors occur. We wouldn't allow our friend to drive drunk, but we rarely take the keys from our tired friends or insist they take a nap before heading out on the road. So studies say that adults should sleep 7 or more hours per night on a regular basis to promote optimal health. And how do we recognize fatigue? Well, from the emotional response signs, people could be more quiet or withdrawn, have less energy, increased irritability, poor attitude and morale, more lacking motivation. Mental signs, difficulty in concentrating, remembering, paying attention, communicating, planning. Again, all common things like right after lunch, early afternoon that I think we can all relate to. Physical signs, yawning, drooping eyelids, rubbing of eyes, head dropping, microsleeps. So how to fight it? Put your phone away at night. You know, we've all heard that. Don't be staring at your phone right before you go to sleep. Get to bed early, get quality sleep. If you're feeling drowsy, stand up, move around. Frankly, I don't take that personally. I find that happens a lot when I'm making presentations, as people standing up and walking around to keep themselves awake during my presentations. I'm totally good with that. Eat regular meals and healthy snacks. Take regular breaks. Drink more water and less caffeine. Change your environment. Get some fresh air. Of course, what compounds this is this weekend we go lose an hour with our daylight savings time. So take some extra steps. Here are some good ideas. Skip the afternoon latte. Go to bed early on Saturday night. Try to, like, already plan yourself for losing that hour. Avoid the temptation to sleep in. Expose yourself to bright light as early as possible. And don't schedule any early morning meetings next week, Tom. So go easy on your staff. First part of next week, at least. So that concludes the safety minute. Continuing on with the general manager's report, the usual topics regarding our approvals, procurement forecast attached to the GM report is the approvals and procurement forecast for February 2020 through April 2020. Forecast presents a view of the WWSP activities that have recently been approved or scheduled for approval over the next 2 months by either the program director, WWSS committees, or the board. The forecast shows a single action. So the one topic that I want to highlight in the forecast is that it shows a single action being taken by the board at this meeting to approve the annual rebaseline schedule and budget. Following the February 2020 Management Committee meeting, we are proceeding with separating this into two separate actions. At the current meeting, we are only requesting approval of the budget for the next fiscal year. We're anticipating bringing the updated program baseline for approval at the May Board meeting. This will allow time for the WWSP parties to complete evaluation and selection of cost management proposals by the program, which will inform the rebaselining effort. The forecast also lists various real estate activities in our governmental agreements that are in process and contract change orders that are being negotiated. These items are largely the same as they were presented last month. Regarding projects planning, permitting, and communications updates, in January and February, the WWSP made several submittals to the City of Wilsonville, Oregon Health Authority, Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and to the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue related to our raw water facilities project. These applications are for our tree removal permit, our 1200C application, and various plan reviews. We anticipate receiving the necessary approvals on these applications to support our plans to break ground this summer. Regarding projects design status updates, work continues on multiple design projects, including 9 pipeline projects, the water treatment plant, the distributed control system, and the terminal storage project, RES 1.0. Design for the PLW 1.3 project is complete, and the project is currently bidding. We are expecting to break ground on that project later this spring or early summer. And regarding projects construction status updates, there are 4 projects actively under construction, PLM 1.1, PLM 1.2, PLM 5.1, and PLM 5.2. All these projects remain on track and are progressing according to plan. As was presented at the last 2 general manager's reports, a portion of Tile Flat Road was closed to enable construction of the part of PLM 5.2 that is within the existing right-of-way. Construction of that portion proceeded smoothly and was completed on time. And that concludes the general manager's report.
Thank you, Dave. Next on our agenda is public comment, but not seeing any members of the public here. I think we can move on to the consent agenda, which consists of approval of the February 6, 2020 regular meeting minutes.
Move to approve.
I second.
And moved and seconded. Any comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next on our agenda.
So, yeah. If I can for a second, Jim. When we have new people in the room, I think it might be appropriate to go around the room and do introductions. Maybe I'm the only person that has not met Chad yet. But if it is or isn't, I'd like to see who else is here.
I don't have a problem with that. In fact, it's not on my agenda, but we'll make room for it. Especially since we don't have any members of the public. Chad, welcome to our meeting. I guess we can go around the table, and I'll let you go first.
Thank you very much. My name is Chad Lynn. I was appointed the Public Works Director for the City of Beaverton. I started February 10th. I come from Southern California. Don't hold that against me. But I'm thrilled to be here. This is a life-changing choice my wife and I made to be in this area, and we're thrilled for the opportunity and thrilled to be part of the community, and everybody's been tremendously welcoming, and I'm drinking from the fire hose right now, but I'm thrilled to be here and look forward to working with everybody.
Nikki Iverson, Water Director for Hillsboro.
Tom Hickman, CEO for TVWD.
Dave Judah, Hillsboro Utilities Commissioner.
Jim Duggan, Tualatin Valley Water District Board.
Denny Doyle, your navigator.
Mike Rich, Engineering and Construction Manager for the program.
Bill Vanderveer, Supply Program, Program Manager.
I'm Clark Balfour. I'm General Counsel for Tualatin Valley.
Dave Kraska, Program Director.
Next on our agenda is the business agenda, consisting of items A and B. First is adoption of fiscal year 2021 WWSS annual work plan and budget. And Mr. Kraska will present the staff report.
Great. Thank you again, Commissioner Duggan. So this was, as what I alluded to in the general manager's report, where the original version of this agenda item was to approve the annual work plan and budget and the baseline. And given the work that's been going on at the program and with the management committee, we've identified a better strategy would be to get our annual work plan approved for the next fiscal year while we continue to work on the baseline with respect to cost management strategies that are currently under review by the program parties. It also occurs to me that this is the first year that we're doing this. So given that the WWSS is a new commission, started in July of last year, we have not had to go through this process. So this is the first time that we're doing this. And so each year, we will prepare an annual work plan and budget for the next fiscal year. And it'll be about this time of year that we'll have that for presentation to you. It will go through various levels of vetting with the Operations Committee, the Finance Committee, and the Management Committee before it gets to the board. And so that's what we're presenting to you today is the annual work plan and budget that has gone through that vetting. The first table on the second page of the staff report shows the three major budget elements. We have there's no personnel services that are identified for this budget. So the three major elements are materials and services, capital outlay, and general operating contingencies. So materials and services are all the annual work plan elements in terms of running all the elements of the WWSS, which are meetings like this, various committee meetings, preparing operations plans, and other things of that nature that are included in the scope of work that is also attached to the staff report. In addition, other activities such as landscape maintenance, locates, things of that nature are in this $808,000 budget for materials and services. Regarding capital outlay, that is our estimated spend for all the projects that we're going to be accomplishing over the next fiscal year. Some of that is design services, some of that is construction services, construction management services. Basically, everything that we anticipate accomplishing in the next fiscal year, that's the $125,763,556. That's what we're expecting to spend for capital outlay. Regarding general operating contingencies, is that we've identified, frankly, I think we learned it through the process of running the WIF Commission, that it would be beneficial to approve a contingency budget at this phase that can be accessed by approval of the board. That if during the fiscal year we identify some additional services that are needed of any respect, we would have a fund basically that we can draw from with board approval to make that happen. And so I think that's everything that I had to say about that. And so again, we are only requesting approval of the annual work plan and budget for the next fiscal year. We anticipate coming to the May board meeting with an updated baseline for approval by the board, as again, after we work through some various cost management strategies. And so with that, I'd be glad to take any questions you might have.
Questions from the board?
Can I add one comment?
Oh, please.
We're not anticipating, but if the revised baseline that would be brought forward in May results in any material difference for the budget, then maybe potentially a budget change brought forward in front of us. We're not anticipating that this would work out.
And so, yeah, Justin rightly points out that if any of these cost management strategies affect any of the projects that we're anticipating for the next fiscal year, it might make a change, correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, but only to the capital outlay portion of the budget. And so then that might be adjustment that we might want to make at that time. But we'll bring that for consideration at the May meeting.
Thank you, Justin.
Right.
Thank you, Dave. Any further questions? Do I have a motion, a second, to adopt resolution number WWSS 0420, adopting the Willamette Water Supply System Commission annual work plan and budget for the 2020-21 fiscal year?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. The motion passes. Next on our agenda item is a consideration of approving amendment in the amount of $1,396,759.20 and a contract term extension through September 30th, 2024 to the Jacobs Engineering Group Incorporated contract to continue to provide design services, bidding support, and engineering services during the construction for the PLM 5.0 project of the Willamette Water Supply System. Mr. Bridge will now present the staff report.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, members of the board. Dave's going to practice safety here by advancing slides for me. So to start with, I want to provide an overview of the PLM 5 project and all its parts and pieces, and then explain the changes that occurred, and at the end request your approval of the design amendment. Our PLM 5 project, so you see the various portions that make it up there, but in total it represents about 7 miles of 66-inch diameter pipeline. It's the largest single work package that we have. It involves the pipe that pumps at the end of the pressure system that goes up to the reservoirs and then north by gravity into TVWD, Hillsborough, and Beaverton system. So originally, as the project was conceived, it only had two separate work packages or phases of work. One of the original segments remains unchanged, PLM 5.1, so that's at the very south end. It's that purple section. So that represents 7,700 feet or so of 66-inch pipe that we are constructing as part of an opportunity project with Washington County. So if you've driven on Roy Rogers Road in that area just south of Shoals, you'll see the road improvements that are going on. But very shortly, you'll also see pipe going in pretty soon as well. So they completed some trenchless work already. The balance of the project then of this phase was 5.2, PLM 5.2. But because of some things that arose that I'll describe in the next few slides, we ended up breaking it up into 3 different phases. And so the next phase, which is shown in the middle there, that continues down Shoals Ferry and then up Tile Flat, around the corner on Grabhorn Road, represents about almost 10,000 feet of pipe. And then the balance continuing up to the reservoirs and then back down is about 20,000 feet. So let me orient you here. This represents 5.2, but I apologize, it's upside down. So North Arrow is down in this case. So it starts at the intersection basically of Roy Rogers Road and Shoals Ferry at the left there, and then progresses west along Shoals Ferry, makes a turn on Tile Flat. So as Dave mentioned, we had to do a road closure in that middle portion, and that was all successfully completed on time, and the road was reopened, and then it continues up Tile Flat to Grabhorn. Well, after we began the project, we began understanding that with the number of development activities that are going on in that area, that their work was preceding ours initially, and also could have resulted in conflicts between us trying to construct our work and their work. And in particular, you can go ahead and advance. In particular, as part of their development, they're required to do all the road improvements and all the frontage improvements associated with that. And had we stayed on our original schedule, they would have completed that work, and then we would have come back and tore it all out and had to rebuild it. So we were able to come up with this PLM 5.2 and a number of milestones that allowed our construction work to precede their road development work. And so we have been successful in now completing all that work ahead of the development work. And then I'd also like to talk about a number of alignment changes. So as we go north, on the gravity portion, where it goes to the west down to Clark Hill Road, up Clark Hill Road, and originally the alignment followed Farmington Road, and PLM 5 was going to end right at 209th and Farmington. However, go ahead and advance. So through our geotechnical investigation, we found that there's actually a high seismic hazard area along Farmington Road. And you don't know until you do the geotechnical investigations. And so we were all a little bit surprised because you think you're on kind of the base of Cooper Mountain, which is rock, you shouldn't have this problem. Well, in this case, the rock drops off quite a bit,
and you have a lot of the valley sediments that are very loose and susceptible to failures like this. So this is a result. This is a failure of part of the highway, slope failure around the Anchorage area. I grew up in Anchorage, and this is one of the highways on the north side. And as you can see from the earthquake they had in November 30th, 2018, substantial slope failure. And we would expect something similar like this, except for hundreds of feet along Farmington Road. And so because of that, we made modifications to the alignment to avoid that high hazard area. And so that's not actually the only area that we changed. So there's actually three areas in this PLM 5.3 that we modified the alignment. So the first is the Farmington that's highlighted there that I just talked about. The middle part, originally we were planning to construct our pipe in Clark Hill Road, but because of some of the site distance issues, as you go north at the north end of Clark Hill Road by Farmington, we would and need to fix those, we would have been probably on the order of 18 feet deep in rock and have substantial excavation and costs associated with it. And then the third change is highlighted down there in the lower left corner. So we're crossing a piece of property owned by the Harubis. And originally, as you can see, we were kind of following the south border, and then we turned the corner and went north into along Clark Hill Road. Again, it's the same kind of seismic hazard that we discovered there by doing our geotechnical investigations. And that corner, again, the rock drops out. It's kind of the bottom of a stream channel. And essentially would have expected about 12 feet of lateral movement. Go ahead and change. And so what we did in the Harubi property is just change our alignment. So instead of being in that kind of southwest corner, we moved more to the northeast side of their property, so a little bit of a diagonal crossing. In the middle there, instead of being in Clark Hill Road, with some input from the neighbors in the area, we were able to modify our alignment and basically follow the BPA corridors and not even be in Clark Hill Road. And then also just continuing north, crossing Farmington, staying out of Clark Hill Road. And then what you see north of Farmington just represents our corrected alignment that gets us out of Farmington Road. So all three of those changes in total represent cost avoidance in the order of about $10 million. So the pipe gets shorter, we minimize our area where we're at risk due to key seismic challenges, and end up with a lower cost, shorter sections of pipe. So in summary, originally we started with the two work packages. The onset of the rapid development caused us to accelerate, create a new project for 5.2 and accelerate our work in that area. And the balance of the remaining PLM 5, 20,000 feet or so, became 5.3 with the alignment changes that I described. So to accommodate all this work, it resulted in a request to change the schedule by adding 22 months. That allows us to incorporate that work. And then also an impact to the budget, the design contract of around $1.4 million, but again, for the cost avoidance of about $10 million or more. So the requested board action is to approve the amendment to Jacobs Engineering Group to continue providing design services for bidding and engineering services during construction for the PLM 5.0 project. Happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions?
Just probably an obvious one, but you mentioned a $10 million savings by the rerouting. Is that those dollars still in the budget? And could we be spending some of those dollars for this addition?
So I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe that the current alignments are represented in the proposed baseline, right? So we've accounted for the alignment modifications and the baseline that will be coming forward.
We accounted for the lion's share of those. Are a couple of smaller nuances that aren't reflected. But the money was not released from the budget. It's retained.
Still in the budget.
Sorry.
I could hear you.
That money is retained in the budget.
Right. Okay, just curious. I'm sure glad the exploratory work was done before it actually was started. Get a hiccup in the middle.
That
would have been government at its finest.
That is so essential, and that's a huge lesson for the industry to learn, and you really need to understand what's happening with your ground conditions, because at face value, you know, you think you might be just fine, but until you know what's going on the ground, you really don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any further questions for Steve?
I have one question. So earlier in the presentation, you talked about the opportunity project to work with developers in that area, mainly focused on the road, so we didn't have to dig up a road somebody else put in there. So before we had the WWSS and we were all talking about this, we had lots of those opportunity projects. How did we not know about this one and be working with somebody on that at the time?
I'll start, man.
Of course, I'm picking on you.
Yeah.
Wondering, are there other opportunity projects that are going on that we haven't allowed for?
Let me try and answer that one, and then I'll tell you about an opportunity project that we actually specifically chose to avoid and why in the area. So prior to starting the program, I hadn't really ever worked with developers before. And so their schedules and their time frame to decide things is on the fly, it feels like. And also what was going on in that particular area, we'd been talking to the initial developer of the day about, you know, their upcoming work, proceeding through our design, and oh, by the way, then they sold it to a different developer who had a different schedule. So our team, I feel like, did nearly heroic measures trying to keep up with developer and their ongoing changing circumstances. And so, you know, I think we've been doing a good job trying to understand all the potential opportunities and work that's out there. In some cases with the developer work, they don't know until they tell you the next day they're going to do something is kind of what it seems like. And so I think we've in that case tried to be as responsive as we could. Now, talk about opportunity avoidance here, and for good reason. So the portion of Clark Hill Road, particularly to the north and at the intersection of Farmington Road, Washington County would like to fix some of the site distance issues there. And for the local kind of commuters in the area, they're aware of that issue. And so we went through a period of about several months where we kind of independently evaluated the option for us to stay in Clark Hill Road and do it as an opportunity and try to understand what are the, you know, schedule implications, cost implications, permitting implications, all the different things that you know, would ripple through. So we went through kind of a fair and honest evaluation of that in our estimation and determined that it didn't seem favorable for us to join the county for a number of reasons, and actually the cost to do it was much more than they had available. We shared that information with them. They kind of came to the same conclusion. So we're always trying to keep our eyes open and look for those opportunities and be smart about those decisions. So in the case of 5.2, we did hurry up and get done. In the case of Clark Hill Road, we just, you know, with our regional partner, Washington County, we decided it wasn't in either of our best interests to do that.
Yeah. If I can just pile on to the answer to that question. So a couple of the risks that we monitor on the program is a missed opportunity project. And so we think about that in terms of if a project were to occur, it's like, well, geez, we're going to build our pipeline there. That would be very problematic for us. And so the fact that we have it identified as a potential risk, that means we also have mitigation measures in place to avoid that. And those mitigation measures, meaning knowing who owns the road and communicating with those entities to communicate to them what our plans are to make sure that we're aligning to the best that we can. So I think the likelihood that there are any opportunity projects out there that we haven't already made aware of, I think, is extremely remote. Another similar risk is if development were to occur in an area that we're planning to do one of our projects. And there again, we're communicating with all of the various permitting agencies and property owners and everything, everywhere that we can manage to make sure that we're in front of that. A very active area that's going to be a challenge for us is in the vicinity of Hall Boulevard and 217, because that area, ODOT wants to expand 217. Washington Square has some potential redevelopment opportunities, and we've got to get in and get our pipeline and get out of there before all of that happens. And so the fact that we know that's a risk for us, and we're trying to do all this identification of what those issues are and communicating with all those parties to inform our schedule and our activities, I think we're doing the best we possibly can is managing that and avoiding that risk.
Any further questions for staff? If not, do I have a motion and second to an amendment in the amount of $1,396,759.20 and a contract term extension through September 30th, 2024 to the Jacobs Engineering Group Incorporated contract to continue to provide design services, bidding support, and engineering services during the construction for the PLM 5.0 project of the Willamette Water Supply Program. That's a long thing.
Yeah. Move to approve.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. None opposed. The motion passes. Next on our agenda are informational items. Mr. Kraska will present the planned business agenda items for April.
Thank you again, Commissioner Duggan. So this would normally be presented to you by Joelle. She has a well-earned vacation going on this week, and so she's given me a script to read to you so that I don't mess it up.
I don't remember asking for
it. Well, I'll bring that up to her in her review that's coming up in a month or two. So let's see. She's very explicit in her instructions to me here. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But so on the first item is PLM 1.2, construction contract change order. So just again for orientation, PLM 1.2 is our pipeline segment at the very north end of the city of Wilsonville. So as previewed last month and included in your staff report today, WWSP staff are working with the Garden Acres Road Project contractor for our PLM 1.2 project at the northern limits of Wilsonville to add the Day Road crossing into our current contractor's work. Staff are working with the change order and property acquisition, and expect to bring this item to you next month. So what we have going on there, just in my words, is we have an active construction contract project going on right now. There's a section of pipe that wasn't included in that contract based on our coordinations with City of Wilsonville. So we're working with the contractor that we have mobilized and active out there right now. If it makes sense to add this work to that contractor, meaning that we get the right price that we want from this contractor, then we'll recommend adding that work to this contract. If we can't come to terms with this contractor, we won't bring that to you, and we'll add it as a separate contract, bid it out separately. But that's we anticipate coming to terms with this contractor, and we'll bring that to you next month. The second item is Water Treatment Plant 1 Design Contract Amendment Approval Recommendation. The Water Treatment Plant team continues to negotiate a design contract amendment with CDM Smith, related to additional engineering services as well as future design efforts for the water treatment plant. The exact scope of the requested change is still in development, with significant negotiation progress expected during March. And this one, I believe, as well, will come to terms with a CDM this month to be able to bring that to you next month. To be honest with you, we've been working with CDM on this change order negotiations since about October or November of last year. So this has been quite a bit of effort. They are similar to Jacobs on the PLM 5.3 contract change order that Mike just went through. CDM Smith is there has been some significant changes in their scope of work, so there is a change order necessary. We just need to make sure that we're negotiating the right price and a fair agreement with them. Third item is MPE 1.0. Resolution of Public Necessity Approval Recommendation. The pipeline, MPE 1.0, is entirely owned by TVWD, is located in Southwest Shoals Ferry Road from Southwest Roy Rogers Road to Southwest Allen Boulevard, and then following Southwest Allen Boulevard and Southwest Western Avenue to Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. The MP 1.0 project also includes a pipeline on Southwest Hall Boulevard between Shoals Ferry Road and Olson Road. The WWSP has progressed the design of this pipeline section to enable identification of property requirements for construction and long-term operation and maintenance of the pipeline. Pipeline alignment was selected through an extensive alternatives evaluation, and the preferred location was selected based upon the best interests of the public and least injury to private property owners. The proposed resolution will enable the submission of the project's land use application in addition to the initiation of property acquisition process, including negotiations with property owners and other applicable interest holders. At the April WWSS board meeting, the program staff will present the project area and easement needs with a recommendation to the board to approve the resolution of public necessity to allow WWSP staff to begin the process to acquire permanent and temporary construction easements for MPE 1.0. The fourth and almost last item, I have one item that I want to add to the agenda, but the fourth item is the WWSP Management Authority Matrix revisions for real estate transactions. At WWSS legal counsel recommendation, WWSS staff will propose several edits to the Management Authority Matrix related to real estate transactions. Changes to the Management Authority Matrix must be approved by the board. The edits are intended to better clarify WWS staff's negotiation limits for acquisitions. The proposed edits will also clarify the conditions requiring board approval, whether the acquisition is completed through negotiation or through eminent domain. On a related matter, and this is what happens on the program, things happen in real time, We're in one of the projects that Mike presented in his presentation, our PLM 5.2 project, specifically along Tile Flat Road. There was one property owner that has been a holdout for us in terms of our ability to get across their property, our ability to acquire an easement through their property. We've been working with them and are coming to terms, and it may be necessary to hold a... We may be looking for your approval to acquire that easement that's above and beyond my authority. And we will likely be requesting an interim meeting, basically a special meeting. I'm told that we can do this over the phone if that's sounds like that would be a thumbs up. We will schedule it that way then. As once we have once we have it figured out, we're getting close. We don't know exactly where we want to land on the strategy on this, but I'd say in the next week we will have that sorted out, and then I'll be reaching out to you to select a date and time to have a phone conversation to gain your approval on this particular item. But with that, that concludes this report. Be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Dave. Question?
So you think the special meeting via phone would happen next week or the week after?
We might.
It's okay either way. All I know is I'll be on the East Coast, so if you have the meeting, please don't schedule it at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
I'm going there on Saturday with a 3-hour time shift plus the time, and I have a 5 or 9 a.m. meeting on Sunday morning, so
is that,
I'll be Mr. Happy.
Is that happening next week or the week after?
This Saturday, so.
Gotcha.
I'll be there most of the week. So.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
Any further questions for staff?
Dave, is this subject property the ones that we've talked about before that went to court or something?
Yep.
So will we be discussing what happened in court or did... I mean, we haven't had an update on that, and I'm not trying to get us off the agenda if now is not the appropriate time.
Happy to provide details. I can do it outside of the executive building. I don't know. I just didn't want to have a phone call about it. So, you can make a statement about that. I can be more able to.
So the board could amend its agenda to call for an executive session on real estate matters. It's something that is pressing. I think there's enough urgency in this that we can amend the agenda on the fly, so to speak, and go forward with it.
So we amend the agenda to include an executive session at a board members meeting to discuss property matters. I guess we adjourn the general meeting and go into the executive session.
Well, so let's
staff.
Let's ask, are we, Tom and Dave, are you looking for a decision point as a result of the executive session?
No, there would be no decision.
Right. So then we could adjourn the regular meeting, convene the executive session, and go from there.
Okay. We can finish off the rest of the formal agenda here we have. Item 5B is just an announcement that the next regular board meeting is scheduled on April 2nd, 2020, right here in this room. And we have no other communications or non-agenda items scheduled for this meeting, so we'll adjourn regular meeting and now go into executive session of the board to discuss property matters.
We need a motion to convene an executive session to negotiate real property transactions.
I would say and for pending litigation.
And pending litigation.
So moved.
Do I have a second? It's been moved and seconded that we convene the executive session for property matters and...